Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Hebrews chapter 1. Let's pray before we start. And Father, we love you. We thank you for the time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you've got a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives, and that includes sticking close to you. And that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Lord, we pray that as we're going through it, that you'd be speaking to our hearts and that you'd just work in us. Chapter 1 is just chock full of all kinds of cool stuff. And Lord, as we go through it, we pray that you'd be, again, doing a work in our hearts. Help me to be able to bring it across in a cogent way. We love you, Lord, and we want to give you the night and pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, let's get into it and read it. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, it says, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then the passage goes on. Okay, so book of Hebrews is all about Jesus. And it's specifically about how Jesus is better than Moses. And Jesus is better than the prophets. And Jesus is better than the law. And Jesus is better than the priesthood. Jesus is a better sacrifice. Jesus is better than the angels. It's all about Jesus is better than, and it's exalting and glorifying Christ. The book of Hebrews, one of the things that you have with it that you probably already noticed if you are sophisticated and you've gone through and read the New Testament, where is the signature in New Testament epistles? You guys know? Yeah, it's at the beginning. That's really interesting. So at the beginning of every book that Paul writes, for example, or Peter, or Jude, or any of these guys write, they say Paul. So generally Paul will say, Paul, an apostle, chosen by Jesus Christ. And you know, then he'll go on and he'll do the rest of it. That's how you did letters back in those days. They didn't do it like we do them, where you go, Dear Steve. I get letters all the time. Dear Steve. And you read the letter and you don't know who it's from unless you've looked at the return address on the envelope. You guys know what an envelope is? Yeah. Or you get to the end of the letter and you see who it's signed by, right? I had this hilarious thing happen to me, gosh, years ago after we moved up here. I have a sister and her name is Ann, and she's got a husband and his name is Pete, right? So Ann and Pete. So I get a letter from Ann and Pete. And I open the letter up, I'm gonna read it, and I wanna find out who it's from. So I go to the signature line, and it's from Ann and Pete, right? And so I'm thinking my sister. Well, then I start reading the letter, and there's all this stuff going on with my sister, and it's like, it doesn't have anything to do with my sister. I look at the outside of the envelope, and it's the return address is in Oregon. Well, my sister lives in Colorado. And so she's going through and she's saying all this stuff with kids and all these things that are going on in her life. And I'm like, what in the world? My sister moved to Oregon and I didn't even know anything about it. And you know, I'm going through it and I'm just flabbergasted about the whole thing until about halfway through the letter, I realize, oh, this is not my sister. And we had a couple of friends named Ann and Pete, and they did live down, you know, they ended up moving to Oregon and that kind of stuff. And you know, there's been a lot of times when I have opened up letters, and if I don't know who it's from, I start getting confused until I go to the tagline and I find out, okay, this is from so-and-so. And what they did in the New Testament was they just put the author of the letter, they signed it at the very beginning. And I think that's how we should do letters. I think that's how it should go. And you should sign it with your last name so Steve doesn't get confused about whether or not his sister is writing to him, right? And so usually a letter has the author sign it at the very beginning, and the book of Hebrews doesn't. And so this caused some consternation. So Hebrews is one of the disputed books in the Bible, and there are five of them. And so it's like the book of Hebrews and the books of 2nd and 3rd John. Jude is one of them, and actually the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation wasn't disputed because they didn't know who the author was or if it had apostolic authority. It was disputed because it said Jesus is coming back soon, and people during that time had changed their mind on whether or not Jesus was coming back soon. And so Book of Revelation was a little bit different than those. This one was disputed because there is no author in the book. And so in the New Testament is all about Jesus. And so the writers of the New Testament had to be somebody that was familiar with Christ in the sense that they knew his ministry, they were witnesses of the resurrection. And so when you look at the writers of the New Testament, they're all these books are written either by an apostle or a close associate of an apostle. And if it wasn't, then it wasn't considered authoritative. And so if it had to be an apostle or a close associate of an apostle, can anybody write a book of the New Testament now? Nope, because we don't have the apostles around anymore, and so nobody's an apostle. All the apostles died 2,000 years ago, and so that's why you don't have extra books in the New Testament, because it's all about Jesus, and Jesus committed the writing to the 12 and then others that were close to him. And when I'm saying that, so for example, Mark's gospel, Mark was not an apostle, but he was a close associate of Peter. And according to the histories, Mark is nothing but Peter's sermons that Mark wrote down. And so Mark is Peter's gospel. And you've got the same thing with Luke being Paul's gospel, and Paul was a witness of the resurrection and so on. Okay, so who's the author of Hebrews? The ancient statement on that is that it's Paul the apostle. And so that is almost universally true in the early church, that they stated that it was Paul the Apostle. Another name that came up is Barnabas, and a guy named Tertullian in the second century, that's the 100s, in the second century stated that Barnabas, who was an associate of Paul, was the writer of the book of Hebrews. When you get to Origen, who's third century, 200s, Origen says that he doesn't know who the writer of the book of Hebrews is, and only God knows. And then you had other guys that come up, and so Paul, Barnabas, Luke is a candidate for being a writer of the book of Hebrews. Clement of Rome is another guy, and Apollos is mentioned in the book of Acts, and even Priscilla and Aquila are candidates for being writers of the book of Hebrews, but it's almost universally Paul. Paul's name, when the book of Hebrews, when the New Testament was translated into Syriac, this is in, again, the second century, early second century, so early 100s, it's the Syriac version of the New Testament is called the Peshitta, and when it was translated into the Peshitta in the early second century, Paul's name was found on it. So Book of Hebrews written by Paul is basically what it said. So when you're talking about Paul being the author of the book of Hebrews, that it's a tradition, but the tradition is way early. And so it's almost unbroken and uniform as far as Pauline authorship. The question comes up, why didn't he sign it? And if you know anything about the book of Acts, you know that Paul had some real problems with the Jewish nation. Actually, Paul didn't have a problem with them. They had a problem with him. And so Paul was one of those guys that was raised up as a Pharisee, and he was under a guy named Gamaliel, and he ended up becoming a Christian, and he became one of the most vocal Christians because Jesus just saved the guy, just basically knocked him off his horse and saved him, and his whole life turned around. Well, the Jews didn't like him because they felt that he was a traitor. They thought that he was going to be their guy. In fact, he was a guy who went around persecuting Christians before Jesus saved him. And so the Jews had real problems with Paul, and you see that again in the book of Acts. And this is a book that's written to the Hebrews. And so these are Hebrew Christians. And so even though they're Christians, they still have a problem with Paul. And again, you see that in the book of Acts. When Paul comes back to Jerusalem to hang out, James comes to him and he says, you know what, Paul, all the guys, and he's talking about Christians. James is the brother of Jesus. And he's talking about Christians, and he basically says, all these guys have a real problem with you. They think that you're teaching against Moses. And there were a couple of guys who had made a vow, what's called a Nazirite vow. And at the end of the vow, you were supposed to offer up a sacrifice. And James said, they don't have the money for a sacrifice. Can you help them out? And so he said, sure. And he went and he offered the sacrifice for these guys. And it was to show that he didn't have a problem with Moses. He didn't have a problem with the temple. He didn't have a problem with the sacrifices and that kind of thing. And it ended up causing a riot because they thought that he brought a Gentile into the temple, basically. In any case, that tells you that there's tension between Paul the Apostle and the Hebrew Christians. And he's writing a book to the Hebrew Christians. And so if you sign it, and you sign it like you do a normal letter, and it starts off with Paul, an apostle, to the Hebrews in Palestine or in Israel, they wouldn't say Palestine at that time, to the Hebrews in Israel, they're going to go, I don't want to read anything by Paul. And so that's a reason that he wouldn't sign it, so that there wouldn't be any prejudice against him. And by the way, one of the things that people do is they go, well, Paul didn't sign it, and so probably Paul didn't write it. Well, if Barnabas wrote it, why didn't he sign it? And it might be for the same reason, because Barnabas hung out with Paul. That's a possibility. But then you got other guys that nobody's going to have a problem with. And so Clement of Rome, they're not necessarily going to have a problem with him. Luke, they're not necessarily going to have a problem with him, and that kind of thing. And so you could ask the same question there. One of the things, when you're talking about Clement of Rome, I don't really think that he's the guy, and I know that I'm getting off in the weeds on most of you guys, but I don't think that he's the guy because he quotes from it in one of his letters. So he's quoting himself from the book of Hebrews if he's the guy who wrote it. And that's probably not what you would do in a situation like that. So I don't think Clement of Rome is the guy. Another thing that comes up when you're talking about the authorship is if you look down in chapter 2 in verse 3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And so when he writes this, the writer puts himself on the same level as everybody else. There's no appeal to his own apostolic authority. He doesn't say, I'm an apostle, you need to listen to me, and that kind of thing. And so people say, well, it can't be Paul. Well, it can't be Barnabas either then, because Barnabas was an apostle also. And so he wouldn't be getting this teaching from somebody else. But when you're looking at what's going on there, if he doesn't want to sign it because he doesn't want them to be prejudiced against him, he's not going to put himself up as an apostle because of exactly the same reasons. And so that's not really an argument against this. Timothy is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, and Timothy was a close associate of Paul. And so that's another one of those things that helps the argument for it being Paul. Also, the law and the priesthood, Paul was a Pharisee. And so he had major portions of the Old Testament memorized, probably all of it memorized. And so Paul was a Pharisee, and so he would know the law really well. And he would know about the priesthood really well. He was also a rabbi. And one of the things that you have when you get to the book of Hebrews is there's a different style. You can still see stuff in there that's what they call Pauline, in the sense that he uses the same kind of language, and somewhat he uses the same kind of style, but he's writing differently. He's writing like a rabbi, and Paul was a rabbi before he ever became a Christian. And when you're looking at Paul's letters to all the other churches, all those other churches are a bunch of Gentiles. And so you're not going to write to a Gentile in the same way that you would write to a Hebrew Christian, because a Hebrew Christian, once again, has most of the Old Testament memorized. And so when Paul's quoting a verse, for example, in Romans, he doesn't do it all the time. Sometimes he slips into the rabbi mode. But when he's quoting a verse in Romans, he'll say, as the scripture says, or he'll say, Hosea says. And what he's doing is letting the Gentiles know where he's getting this stuff from. But when you get to the book of Hebrews, he doesn't do any of that. He just quotes the passage expecting these people to know exactly what he's talking about. And so again, you have that. The Greek is different between the letters of Paul and the book of Hebrews, but that can be because Paul uses what's called a different, well, it's called an amanuensis, but it's a guy who's taking dictation. And so one of the things that you run into when you read Paul's letters, you need to know this about this guy. When you're reading Paul's letters, you're reading something that he dictated to Luke, for example, or he dictated to Silas. He dictated these things. And so you go through and you read the book of Romans, and what Paul is doing is standing there talking, going through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. It's how we've got it all divvied up, talking, and somebody is writing this down as he does these things. When you study the Bible, you find out, so for example, whether you're talking about Romans or whether you're talking about Corinthians, you're in the first chapter, Paul's bringing up stuff in the first chapters of these books that he's going to expound on later on throughout the book. And it's like words and concepts that he's going to flesh out later on and devote whole chapters to these things. And it's how he starts. What I'm telling you is the guy's a genius. I could never do what Paul the Apostle did in writing these things. And so in each one of these letters, there'll be different guys who are writing these things down for him. And so it's not Paul's Greek that you're actually seeing, it's Silas's Greek that you're seeing. And so the question of whether or not the Greek matches the rest of the letters has to do with whether or not it's the same guy who's writing it down for Paul at that point. And so the Greek being different is no argument against Paul, and it's actually no argument for anybody else. From the time of Pantanus, and he died about 190, it was held in Alexandria in Egypt that the epistle was Pauline. And actually he's another early church father, Clement of Alexandria said that Paul had written the book of Hebrews in Hebrew, and that Luke translated it into Greek. And that may be why things are different here. Because again, you have Paul writing like a rabbi rather than the way that he writes the other books. And this is what I mean by that. If you look down in verse 4, it says, talking about Jesus having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And what he's doing there right there is quoting from Psalm 2:7. He doesn't tell you that he's quoting from the Old Testament. He just says it, right? Then he goes on and he says, again, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. And that's out of 2 Samuel chapter 7. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. If you don't know, those are quotes. And the first time I ever read this was in my King Jimmy. And in this version, you can see that when it's a quote from the Old Testament, they will change the font and they'll put it in italics. And it's so that, well, not necessarily in italics, well, it is, but it'll put it in a different font so that I know that's a quote from the Old Testament. Read Hebrews for the first time in my King James Version, I was like, what in the world is going on? Because I didn't know the Old Testament, and I didn't know that he was quoting. And so the book of Hebrews was a really hard book for me to understand until I got some of the mechanics on it. And that's how rabbis write. They'll go through and they'll make a point and they'll just quote a passage and then move on. They expect you to know this stuff. And again, it's because of the training of Jewish children. When you're talking about ancient Judaism, they had synagogues, and attached to the synagogue was what was called a Beit Midrash, and it was a school for the kids. It's where we get Sunday school. Sunday school started in Bible days. Actually, it started before the time of Christ. And so every little boy in Judaism, before he was 13 years old, had the first five books of the Bible memorized in Hebrew. And so these are the guys that Paul's talking to when he's writing to Hebrews. And again, he expects them to know the material. And so the writing in the book is way different. Who's it written to? Hebrews. So it's written to Hebrew Christians, and I've already beat that one to death. The earliest tradition is that it was written to the Hebrew Christians in Israel. One of the things that you have specifically with the book of Hebrews is it was disputed, not by the whole church, just by the Western church. And so over in the Eastern Mediterranean, you had all the Greek-speaking peoples and obviously the Hebrew-speaking Jews over in the Eastern Mediterranean. And then over in the Western Mediterranean, you had people who were primarily Latin speakers. They would be able to speak Greek too, but that's where the Roman Empire was. And so all the people on the Eastern side of the Mediterranean considered Hebrews to be canonical. That means good, you know, worthy of being in the New Testament from the get-go. It was the guys over on the Western side that didn't. And you know, how does that happen? And here's how that happens. When Paul would write a letter to anybody, so say the letter to Corinth, for example. So first letter to Corinth, and say, I'm from Corinth. And Paul writes a letter. Well, let's put it in our speak. So I live in Kennewick. And so Paul the Apostle is going to write a letter to the church in Kennewick, Calvary Chapel in Kennewick, right? And so he writes a letter to me. And I go, okay, awesome. And so I'm talking to Dallas over in Toppenish. And I say, Dallas, Paul the Apostle wrote a letter to me. And he goes, really? Paul wrote a letter to you? And I go, yeah, here it is. He goes, prove Paul wrote the letter to you. And so I'll tell him, okay, well, this is where he was. This is when this was happening and that kind of stuff. Because he doesn't know if I have an actual letter from Paul, because he lives over in Toppenish, right? And so what happened with the early New Testament is you had a number of books that actually got authority as time went on, as the people who the books were written to told these guys what the basic, you know, the history of the book was. And so when you're talking about some of the disputed books, it wasn't like people were going, no, that's heresy, and it wasn't that kind of thing. The issue was, how do you know it was written by an apostle? How do you know that it was written early enough? That's what the arguments were always about. How do we know that this is authoritative? How do you know that when it says it was from James, it's really from James, or when it says it was from John, that it was really from John? And so churches had arguments about this, and all the arguments were settled by the 300s, basically. And there were only actually, like I was saying before, five books that anybody ever had an argument about in the first place. And that argument was between groups of churches. All these churches on the east side, all these churches on the east side said Hebrews, absolutely, Paul the Apostle wrote it. And all these guys on the west side were going, well, we don't know that for sure.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.